Father, we love you this morning, and God, we're so thankful to be in your house, to be in your presence. God, we sing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God, you're worthy. And God, we just pray that you would just speak to us this morning as we hear your word. Show us what you want us to see this morning. God, we love you, and we just give the rest of this service to you. We pray you'd be honored through it, in Jesus' name, amen.
They left yesterday or Friday, and so they got their hands full down there. A lot of kids have gone. I don't know how many, but way too many are at camp. So be in prayer for them. Also today, please be in prayer for our high school pastor search team. By the way, that's gone very well. Matter of fact, you know, we changed our government system some time ago, and I was just kind of doing some contemplating the other day and thinking about how well it's gone. There's been some learning curves that definitely has taken place, but we have our elders in place, and they're just really a blessing to work with. My wife testifies, man, it's really something to have you come home from any kind of meeting, a business meeting of any kind, and be hopping and hollering about what all the Lord's doing. So I personally, it's been a benefit to me to have these seven elders that are on board and at work, and the work's being done. One of the outcomes of our new government system, however, is how we do the budget. Now, our trustees are now our finance committee, and they're at work with that, and we've gone to a new fiscal year, which is July the 1st through June the 30th. And we are presenting the budget today at the end of the service. That vote will take place. There's only two things that we'll have a vote. Well, really three things. A major project of some kind that takes a lot of money, we will have a vote on that, obviously. When we elect or when we call a new senior pastor, you will vote on that. And so that's me, you know. So when the Lord lets me go somewhere else, or you let me go somewhere else, how all that works. Then when you call a new senior pastor, that guy will be voted on. And also, our budget every year, we will vote on that. And so, we will vote on our budget at the end of the year. But I'm thankful to them. And they put together a search team. And that search team has done a wonderful job for a high school pastor. And if you're on that search team, if you wouldn't mind standing today, if you don't mind, there's Tammy, Chad, Natalie, Amy, and, Billy's probably in the nursery. I saw him this morning. He's probably doing something, kicking some kids probably over there, getting them where they can come off the ball a little lower and faster, I imagine. But I appreciate their hard work that they've put into all of our search process. And I don't think it's probably I don't think it's a mistake for me to say it's close. It's close. So probably, and if the Lord continues to do what it looks like is going on now, as we go like Abraham's servant, like looking to see who is going to water the camels, it looks like we got a camel waterer. Looks like, maybe, perhaps, if the Lord continues to work. So please be in prayer for that process. Also, if you don't mind, be in prayer for all of our missionaries that have gone. You know, one of the unique things about this congregation is we got way more people somewhere else than here. You know, I don't know how to visualize this for you, but right here and now, we are partnered with 24 churches in Cambodia. There were 10 new churches that I believe the Holy Spirit sent our way. These men have been coming to our pastor's conference the last two or three years. We've gotten to know them. The book of Acts is happening there. People are being saved in large numbers. In up near Kampong Tom, where our first group will go, there are more churches preaching the gospel than Buddhist temples. Now, that's from my eyeball. That's from what I saw when we were there. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Hallelujah. And I tell you something else that's really unbelievable is, you know, we've been wanting to support those other 10 churches with $300 a month, but that's $3,600 that's $3,000 a month. That's $36,000 a year. You know, our budget's the way it's been lately with all the things that have gone on with oil and different things. And we haven't been able to provide for those 10 churches. And it's been kind of a burden for me. And one of the reasons Steve Seabury went with us is to hopefully get more churches involved. And maybe we can. And Steve's still working on that. However, on a Thursday afternoon, in a period of 30 minutes, I had lunch with a particular person that says, I want to support those churches. I had a phone call with a guy that says, I'll support one of them. I had another phone call in a period of 30 minutes of time that said, we've made money on this project, and it looks like this is how much money we're going to be able to give to Cambodia work that funded all those churches for a year. Amen. There you go. So, does the Lord want us doing that? Well, He keeps on providing. I believe He does. Man, in the book of Acts is happening. So pray for the Cambodia work. Pray for the Peru work. Caesar, man, I saw him, a picture with him and Rick Warren. That boy's walking in some tall cotton. The Lord's really at work down there in Peru. And right now, Juliana Sutterfield is on the field in Peru. Michaela, sorry. Don't take that personally. That's Lee Brewer. My daughter's name is Cindy. Sorry about that. I knew if I did this, I would mess something. I was more concerned. Now, you're going to think this is really funny. I got on Facebook to get the names right. God bless everyone. Sorry. So which Sutterfield is it? Michaela. Michaela's in Peru. She's at work in Peru. The Lollies are about to be in Peru, working in Peru. That's a beautiful thing. Sarah Albritton is now in Phnom Penh. She's leading a group of navigators. Sarah Albritton. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew Riley and his sweet wife, Jacqueline, yay or nay? My daughter Cindy always tells me I get her name wrong. Matthew and Jacqueline Riley are in Moldova. They have good sheep there, good sheep. Amy Brewer just left Africa, amen. Natalie and Mallory Powell have already gone to Haiti and they're back, amen. Cullen and Katie Welch are in Moscow. Saw a picture with them with all those colorful spires. Jordan Smith is in Austin, Texas. Hallelujah. Interesting thing with Jordan. Jordan can flat sing. Jordan has got an unusual voice. Praise the Lord, Jordan has a voice and a singing style that Nashville does not want. Hallelujah. I don't want what Nashville puts out today. Jordan had a long conversation with me. Jordan understands that every single night, every single day on the weekend, he's singing in one or two bars. He talked with me about that. He said, Brother Lee, it's always been an interest to me the time that you said, who reaches the beer drinkers? I said, yeah, Jordan, who reaches the beer drinkers? We need to have missionaries to the beer drinkers. He said, maybe that's something I might do with my music. I said, absolutely. That's what you need to do. I said, Jordan, you know, you have you a couple beers every night when you sing. Just limit it. Be careful with all that. And I said, you find ways that the Spirit of the Lord would lead you to be able to share the gospel on stage. I said, there's no telling what the Lord might do with that. I said, I wonder who has done that. He said, well, you know, Willie Nelson, at the end of his concerts, I said, yes, I remember when Willie Nelson, at the end of his concerts, when he would, after several beers and whatever else the Lord had provided that day, He would sing Just As I Am. He would sing Amazing Grace. He would sing Come As You Are, Just As I Am. He would sing, you know, Will the Circle Be Unbroken By and By, Lord, By. That's pretty good. I need to go sing with Jordan right there. Woo! And he would sing all that stuff, and, you know, people just crying. I remember, you know, everybody's, oh, I love this missing when I went to church to sing those. Oh, yeah, man, that Lord may use Jordan. So please, as you pray for all these folks who are serving the Lord overseas, pray for Jordan. He's on mission in bars, in dance halls, and saloons in Texas. Can you amen that? Amen that. That's where Jesus would go. You're a little uncomfortable, aren't you? I'm not uncomfortable today. I have been uncomfortable with stuff like that, and I probably will get back there, but the Lord's done something the last 2 or 3 weeks with me on that. Had a wonderful lesson last night at the wedding. We do not know how to do weddings. We don't got it down. We spend $50,000, $60,000 on a wedding, give the preacher $25, and he can't even get his suit cleaned. That's what we do. But she looks good. She could look good in a $500 dress. She didn't need a $5,000 dress. You didn't need to do all that. Last night, it was a simple decoration. Everyone did it. It was African refugee, Lambert, married Alpha Scene. Lambert Behigrio. There's now Lambert and Alpha Scene Behigrio. The wedding was both in Texas English and Somalian. I mean, Swahili. And maybe a little Bahundri in there. I don't know what that is. Lots of stuff going on. But this is what I saw. Now, when their pastor showed up, he changed all the stuff. After the rehearsal was a complete disaster, I have you know. We need to pray for Sarah. Sarah is a gift from God. Philip, don't you walk away from that one right there. She's got a great heart. I felt for her. She was trying to coordinate all this. Karen Morrow has a heart of a saint. She serves the Lord with them. And I'm just watching all this going, this wedding's not working out well. Well, the pastor shows up and he changes everything. Their pastor does. And he's going to MC the whole thing. And I'm going, boy, this is going to be a wreck. This is going to be. But it was beautiful. What he did was beautiful. What I did was okay. You know, I got to marry him in the ceremony and he did the MCing. And I was sitting right over there and this is what I saw happen. Now, in the planning, I was going to stand here, and they were going to walk down, and from that point on, it was going to be an American wedding ceremony, but the groom and his sister, Lambert's sister, comes in, and she is, when the bride comes in, she's going to take that flower that she's carrying, and she's going to hand that to the bride. No, hand it to the groom, and the groom hands it to the bride, and that's a little different. But what was really different, they had some songs going on, and there's some jiving going on. And when Lambert comes in, the pastor says, he introduced the groom. And when Lambert comes walking in, the place erupted in like that, and yelling and screaming and standing up and applause. And I went, the groom came in and they go nuts. And then when the bride came in, he introduced, now they walked down the aisle, there was some good jigging going on, it was really awesome, upbeat song, celebration. All of the brides and the groomsmen come in and they walk down and he explained they're on the white and that had meaning. The white tarp that was in the carpet had meaning to it. And they even rolled it up before they left. It had meaning to it. I'm not sure what happened there. And they come in and when the bride comes in, it's even beyond that of the celebration of the groom. And I'm sitting right over there in my seat where I always sit, creature of habit. And I went, holy cow. This is heaven. Can you imagine what it's like, what it's going to be like in heaven when we're there and it's going on a regular basis when the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is introduced. We are going to go nuts. I've been looking for Him. That's the one. He is the one that saved my soul. He's the one that paid the price on Calvary for me. And there He stands. And then the announcement is going to be made. And all the martyrs of all the ages are going to be under the altar, and they're going to come forth. The 24 elders are going to cast their crowns before the one that's taken away our sin. And we, like a sea of ice, it talks about all the God's people, the bride, the church, the redeemed. We're all going to be, and it says, and the redeemed of all time are going to be, we're going to be proud of the sound of God, and there's going to be a massive eruption of praise and shout and hallelujah to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's what their wedding was about. We got to learn from that. Our weddings are the closest thing to a funeral. I know. Three weeks ago, I had an encounter with the Lord. I get home from a Monday night group. All's good. Monday night group is a bunch of wild men. Good conversation. Good prayer. Monday nights is always a peaceful rest. Lord's at work. I get home Monday night and says, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And He said, Naaman. Speak on Naaman Sunday. Yes, Lord. I turned to 2 Kings and start studying Naaman Monday night. I studied and I was reminded of the little girl. I thought about the little girl, the maidservant that was in the home that said, he needs to go see Elisha. I thought about the simple instruction of the little girl, and I thought about the simple plan of God for the healing of Naaman. He needs to go to the Jordan River and wash himself 7 times. All right, then. I study it, gets a little late for me, which is pretty, you know, pretty early, and go to sleep. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up with one of my diverticulitis attacks. Oh, man, I hate diverticulitis. I'm pretty sure it was Paul's thorn. It had to have been. That diverticulitis is a killer, and it hits you without any notice. And, I mean, it just, boom, it hit again. I had it a week before. I had it a week later, too, hit, too. But this one was bad, and it just had me over on the floor in a ball. And I was praying for some relief, and I got relief where I could stand up, and being able to stand up and stretch the legs. Like, the only thing I can explain it to you is like getting a hamstring cramp. And so about 5 o'clock in the morning, I finally get it to where I can walk around a little bit, and I go and turn on TV, and I'm bored to death, and so I get on Netflix. I like documentaries, and so let's see if there's something I hadn't seen. And so I go through all the documentaries. And there was one called The Finger of the Lord, or The Finger of God. And I thought, I'll watch that. Well, that's a crazy, crazy documentary. I almost turned it off immediately when the guy started talking about what he was going to do. He was going to document all the crazy things that God is doing. And he started with God putting gold in people's teeth and sprinkles of gold dust on people when they're at church. But then he said these words, and it caught my attention. He said, I think that's crazy too, and my uncle and aunt that I've known all my life are the people that got me interested, because I know them, and they're good people, sane people, but they went to church, and they left church with gold fillings. And so I had to investigate. And so I said, well, he's being honest. He's saying that this seems really, really wacko. And I agree with him. That seems really, really wacko. I don't ever see anywhere in the Bible where God put gold fillings in people's teeth. I don't know about these gold flakes. And I remember hearing about that a long time ago. It was a big deal in the 90s in Florida, I believe it was. Anyway, what else do I got to do? I start watching it. And there were three things that I take from that. And if you want to watch that and you can process of that, and I'm definitely not defending parts of this thing. It's more than I can deal with. But when you talk about signs and wonders, signs do make you wonder. And I do know that in my life today that I've seen things that have stretched my theology that I don't quite understand, but they happen. And so my book is more open than it's ever been to those kinds of things. That's the truth. Well, in that story, I got those three things. One is, signs do make you wonder. One of the little ladies that was interviewed said, signs make you wonder. They also interviewed a group of people that are in Africa, in Mozambique, and it got my attention. That's where Amy's been for the last 90 days. And they have seen all kinds of healings. And they asked them why they don't see healings like that in the Western world. And she said, the wife of this missionary couple says, all that we know is this, that I didn't believe in these either until I came to this place, this world. This is the poorest country in the world. These are the poorest people in the world. They have absolutely nothing. I can't fix all their needs. All we can do is pray for them and share the good news with them. And there's been signs and wonders that have just gone with it. Now, what we do is we love God with all of our heart, and we love them with all that we have. We just love our neighbor ourselves. We just believe that's what it says. And the only thing that we can come close to building up with that is, man, listen, maybe in the Western church, they're from California, maybe in the Western church, we don't really love God with all of our heart, and we don't really love our neighbor as ourselves. And perhaps that is why there's not great movements of God. Maybe that's why there's not great movements of God. Maybe that's why there's not great movements of God. And boy, it stuck with me. Lee, do you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? Lee, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do I? Do we? What does that look like? Man, I'm gripped with conviction. Not quite sure I can answer that, Lord. Not quite sure I can answer that. Joe, put Acts chapter 3 in your deal for this morning. Not quite sure I can answer that, Lord. And so all day long I hear, signs do make you wonder. We don't love people like we're supposed to. We don't love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's why we don't see God's miracles here. That's why we don't see God's miracles here. All day long, I hear, would you listen to that little girl? Naaman was a general. Naaman was the chief of staff. He was commander of all the army. Would you listen to a little girl like he did? If God sent a little girl to you, would you listen to her? I don't know. Emma Gass was baptized last week. When she was baptized, I remember seeing her get baptized, her smiley little blonde hair, smiley little face. I thought, would I listen to Emma Gass if she walked up to me and said, the Lord told me to tell you something? It was all day long. I hear the Lord just wearing me out. Wednesday comes around. I go to the Wednesday morning group meeting. Get back home. Starting to feel a little better. Get home. And when I get home, look on Facebook. At that time, Susan was still in Africa with Amy. I get home, look on Facebook, and there's a picture that is 7 years old of my wife that Facebook says, look at this memory, right? 7 years old. She has on a Marine shirt. That's no big deal. My wife will wear a Marine shirt a lot because our son's in the Marine Corps. She has a Marine shirt on. I think she's in a Starbucks. And behind her is a picture of Kenya. It's a picture that shows an elephant, and it's got the Kenya writing under that. And I look at that, and I go, oh, man. They have, and I looked, I can't see any of the other. I think one, I could see the sideways picture. It was the Ivory Coast. And I said, I don't remember where we were. I don't know what we're doing. But we were in a Starbucks somewhere, and I put on Facebook 7 years ago, here I am with a hot wife, I'm sure, something like that. You know, and we were surrounded by Africa stuff, and she's got a Marine shirt on. And I go, Lord, signs make you wonder. Are you showing me something here? Does this picture show me that you knew 7 years ago that Susan would be in Africa and Daniel would be on deployment with the 31st MEU? And here I am sitting at home all by myself looking at this, and all I'm thinking of is signs make you wonder. We don't love God with all of our heart. We don't love our neighbor ourselves like we should, and God holds back His power. Maybe that's the truth. That's not my words. It's what she said. It makes me wonder. I don't have any other reasons why we don't see an outpouring of His Spirit that is unexplainable in the Western world. But it's going on in Asia. I don't have an explanation for that. Maybe that's the explanation. And I said, Lord, right before me, you show me this. And I did the share thing. And I'm thinking about that all day. There she is in Africa, riding on motorcycles. She won't ride with me, but she rides with strange men all over Africa being chased by lions. Yeah, boy. Amy the same. Boda Boda, that's what they call them. Boda Boda. And there it's going on. So we're rocking along, and I think about it all day long. On my way home Wednesday afternoon, My mom calls me and says, have you seen Lexi and Mila? And I go, no, what do you mean? They put another picture on Facebook or something? What are you talking about, Mom? She says, Lee, they were interviewed today by the San Diego News, and it's somewhere on the internet, and I want you to find it for me so I can see it. And so I go, all right, Mom, I get home. And so I get home, and I'm wondering what they're talking about. So I go, San Diego News story today. And I start going through and looking. And I see a little deal, it says, a little video, and it looks like Lexi is in the caption of the picture. It says, roar and snore. Okay. So I click it on, and sure enough, it's my two little granddaughters. There's a news reporter for one of the San Diego stations that lives in the cul-de-sac on the Marine base right behind Michelle and Daniel. And she knows that Daniel's deployed, and they thought it would help those girls, and my two girls are the cutest girls in the hood. So she said, can I come get them at 2:00 in the morning and take them to the Wilderness Zoo in San Diego, and can I put them on the air? And Michelle says, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So they go at 2:00 in the morning, and what they've got there, this wilderness thing, is a thing where you go and you live in a tent out there with the animals, and they've got it fenced off. But as you sleep, you can hear the lions roar, and you can hear all the elephants, and do all those things. Well, there they are. They've got my two little girls, and they're interviewing them. They've got them in picture of them in the bed and showing them all to do it. You know, Lexi's in the first grade, and Mila's in preschool, and she starts asking them questions. And at the early part of the interview, she asks Lexi, my granddaughter, Lexi, what is your favorite animal? And Lexi says, the rhino. Okay. To anyone else, that would be no big deal. To me, it just hit deep. It hit so deep into me that I didn't hear the rest of the interview, and I had to go back and listen to it and see what I had missed. Lexi says, I love the rhino. They said, Mila, what do you like? She says, I love to hear the lion's roar. But the little girl said, I love the rhinos. Why do you love the rhinos? Because of their big horns, she said. It was at that very place where a writer by the name of Erman McManus got a story that he put into a book called The Barbarian Way. And he was given all kinds of analogies to living by faith and be a barbarian. And you probably remember that course where I spoke about being a barbarian and how we're too domesticated and we're too civilized in our faith, and we become sterilized because we come and do church and we don't live a bold faith out there in the world. And he spoke about the rhino, and I'm reading this book. And he spoke about the rhino, and he says, it's an interesting thing about the rhino. A group of rhino is called a crash. A group of vultures is called a committee. Did y'all know that? That was funny back then. But a group of rhinos is called a crash. And he went on the book to explain, rhino is a good symbol of what it means to live by faith. And if God has told you to do something, to do it. To do it, because a rhino can't see 30 yards ahead of him. A rhino is basically blind. All he can see is close up. But a rhino with that big body will run up to 30 miles an hour. And he says that's the way our faith should be. We hold back so many times because we can't see out there. And so we run at a mile per hour, and we're gentle in our steps, and we don't really do what God's asked us to do because we can't see where we're going. We don't know what's next. We don't know how it looks. Now, our mission work in Cambodia is a rhino crash. Our mission work in Peru is a rhino crash. Our radical year that many have said it changed your life and many have said we're going somewhere else. It was a rhino crash. Investing in more than we're able to pay for is a rhino crash in the mission work of God. It's believing God has told you something and running 30 miles an hour ahead and you can't see what's out there. Lee had stopped doing that because that's very hard to be a pastor and run 30 miles an hour and you can't see. It's very difficult for a pastor today to run hard and be a hard charger and just simply believe this is what God has told me to do and I'm going to run that hard. It's very difficult. A lot of misunderstandings. A lot of people can't deal with that. It's a hardship on the body of Christ. I don't think we would do well if Paul was our pastor. I don't think we would do very well if Jesus was our pastor. But a little girl on a San Diego news station who happens to be my little granddaughter said, at the very same place that a writer said, later on, after I read that book, we went out to visit Daniel before he was going off to the war the first time. And we said, what do you want to do? He says, I want to go see this wilderness park over here in San Diego. He said, I want to go see that. He said, my son loves the zoos. Today, he's 33 or so. If we're with him, he'll want to go to the zoo. And going with the zoo with him is no fun. He runs from one place to another. And if he hears there's an extinct animal, he runs to us. Come on, quit running. I can't run with you. You know, he loves the zoo. His kids love the zoo now. They're always going to the zoo, always going to the zoo. And I remember being in this little truck that you rode around on, and they showed you all the animals. And I remember being where the rhinos are, and I remember getting goosebumps because that story meant so much to me all those years ago. It kept me in ministry. It lit my fire. Today, I can look back and I can see that all those crazy things that you've attempted and that you've tried to move forward on, all those things is a result of that story. And God using that story, and God using the scripture and that story. And now, you've had 3 days of stuff. Are you going to hear the message of the Lord, Lee? Lord, are you telling me to get back and be like a rhino? Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer meeting. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going to the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us though he had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanding the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Then, times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins be wiped out. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and He will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Times of refreshment will come. Faith is required. Repentance is required. An about face is required. A return to faithfulness in Jesus Christ is required for times of refreshment to come. Today, if the Holy Spirit has used the testimony today to penetrate your heart, confess any known sin to God, and put away any wrong done to others. Do you hear the Lord speaking to you about that? Confess any known sin. Put away any wrong done to others. Do you hear the Spirit speaking to you? Signs make you wonder. Not sure we love God with all of our heart. Not sure we love our neighbors, ourselves. Not sure we're over ourselves enough to see only what God is capable of doing. Perhaps we're experiencing the best that man can offer. Perhaps Bono was right when he said, when the Spirit leaves the building, all you have left is religion. Do you hear the Spirit of God speak to you? Are you willing to listen from a simple messenger today? A little girl like. Do you hear the Spirit speak to you? Has there been things that you have been called to do, but you've not done it because the faith was limited and you couldn't see outside of the next step, and so you bogged down in the details? Is there a sin that's gripped your life, and so you're paralyzed? Confess any known sin. The Spirit of the Lord is making known to you right here and now the sin. Put away any wrong done to others. Put away any doubtful habit there may be. If you're wondering whether or not it's okay if you do something, you're probably not okay to do it. Put away any doubtful habit that you might have. Put away any doubtful habit. What's the Spirit saying to you? Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you before and you have not obeyed promptly. Here in the story, Peter and John, they saw an opportunity. They saw the opportunity before them, the healing of the man. All the people in the temple, knowing the man was healed, knowing something happened, they know this crippled man. And now they see him walking. They see his feet and his ankles have been strengthened. They see him standing before them. They saw the opportunity. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly, immediately. What is the Holy Spirit saying for you to do? What is the Holy Spirit reminding you right now of? The Lord came to me in a series of just daily unique events that's particular only to me. The little girl being my granddaughter. The rhino story being such a prize for me in my life. The very same place where the author got the idea. God used that in me. The Holy Spirit used that to say to me, Lee, this is what I want you to see. I slowed you down. Diverticulitis. I put you in that position. I put you to hear from me. The Holy Spirit laid on me for 3 days. Speaking to me. Susan with the Marine shirt. Daniel's in on deployment. Susan being in Africa, Amy being in Africa, showing me he knew he would put those two things together. She could have wore a Hardin Simmons shirt. She could have wore I Love God shirt. She could have wore an Angelo State shirt, for gosh sakes. She could have wore a Duluth Trader shirt. She wore a Marine shirt on that very day, 7 years ago. And on that very moment, that very morning, on that morning when God's lining up His spiritual rendezvous with me, He made all that work. What's the Holy Spirit been laying before you? Connect some dots right now. The Holy Spirit's now at work saying, this is what I've been saying to you. This is what I've been showing you. This is your story, what I've been doing in your life. Look at it. Think back to what the Lord's been doing. Think back to what the Lord's been doing. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. Immediately. Do what the Holy Spirit says to do. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it's bathing in the Jordan River 7 times. Even when it's standing up before a house full of people and saying to them, you put this Jesus on the cross. Unpopular. But they saw the opportunity and the Lord blessed it. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. Confess Christ openly. Confess Christ openly. Philip, come and sing for us. This morning, a time of invitation, a time to leave right with God through Jesus Christ. Confess any known sin to God and put away any wrong done to others. Put away any doubtful habit. What is doubtful for you? What needs to be let go? Obey the Holy Spirit immediately. Confess Christ openly as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Come to the altar and kneel and pray. What does the Lord say to you today? Just stand and come and just pour your heart out to God. Come to His altar. Come to His altar today, a place of forgiveness, a place of grace, a place of love, a place of renewal, a place of revival. Will you come and just pour your heart out to God as Philip sings for us? Will you come? Will you come and say, I connect the dots for me. I've had a rhino story. The Lord sent a little girl to me to speak symbolically. My little girl was this. I need to respond. I need to respond immediately. Will you come and do business with the Lord? Anyone at all, would you come? Just come and do business with the Lord. Lord, you've been at work in my life. I've been neglectful of what you've been telling me to do. And today, I confess any known sin. I put away any wrong done to others. Lord, I've done some wrong to others, and I need to be right. I need to come and pour it out to you. Then you need to go to those others and speak to them and have forgiveness and reconciliation and just renew those relationships. Put away any doubtful habit. What's keeping you from experiencing God's very best? Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. You've been holding back. You haven't been obeying promptly. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and you've been holding off. Oh, you're hearing the Holy Spirit this morning. Will you obey immediately? Will you obey promptly? Will you do exactly what the Holy Spirit asks you to do? That's where the good life is. That's where the grace is. That's where the renewed life is. That's where the glorious life is. That's the life of peace, Paul said, when we believe, when we pray with all of our heart, when we believe God for our problems, then we experience the peace that passes all understanding. If there's anxiety, if there's turmoil, it's because you have not submitted for that peace that passes all understanding. The Holy Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit's at work. You've identified this morning. You've heard the faithfulness of college kids today, of recent graduates going into all the world. You've heard the story of people have said, I'll give up these days, these weeks, these months. I live to share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit has gripped your heart. The Holy Spirit's been at work all week long in your life, speaking to you. We must leave in obedience. We must leave with obedience. We must leave with complete devotion to God. Do you hear the Spirit speaking to you? Father, you are almighty. You're the great creator, sustainer. You're the author of faith. You're the giver of love. You're the giver of forgiveness. You're the father of all compassion, the father of all comfort. Lord, you restore our soul. You renew our hearts, Lord. We are broken people, Lord, but you put us back together. Lord, our sin separates us from you, but you gave us all we need. You provided through Jesus on the cross. Lord, it's a wonderful thing for those whose sins are not counted against them. Lord, in Jesus today, we can celebrate that our sins are not counted against us. You're so worthy of our worship. Let's sing. Then after the song, will the ushers come?